This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
All right, Ben. I was wrong again. And you were right. The Rams were 8.5-point dogs to New Mexico, and they win by 8. Are the Rams going to do this again? Are they seriously going to do this again? Ali Farouk Manesh, first-year head coach, he gets 20 wins, guaranteed. And they win in a place that they normally do not win. Also tonight, Nuggets, Lakers, yeah. Really want this one, Mike. Really want this one. Sean Keeler going to join us for Keeling Me Softly in this hour. We got Rams Weekly at 1. Tons to talk about. The whole show starts now. Seven minutes after 11 o'clock. I enjoyed it, Mike. I enjoyed the intro today, but explain. The underdogs winning a game, is that right?
The underdogs won the game.
Maybe they should be overdogs.
Overdog.
Yeah, maybe that's what Bo Nix said. Maybe we should be overdogs next. Is that what the Rams are saying? Colorado State beats New Mexico. Michael, they were 13-53 at the Pit. The Rams. They don't typically win there. But now they do, apparently. And Colorado State, I'll tell you what was big, was the bigs in this game getting some pretty significant three-pointers. Kyle Jorgensen was 5 of 8 from the three-point line. And Rashawn Bemba was 3 of 4. Michael, Rashawn Bemba entered the game 2 of 5 from 3 on the season. 2 of 5 on the season. And then he went 3 of 4 from deep last night. So that was impressive, and they led all the way through. Now, New Mexico, we figured they would make a run. They did. But Colorado State weathered the storm, and they got it done. I mean, they jumped out to, like, it was like a quick 7-2 lead. Kerry Booth had a beautiful fadeaway to start that game. Wide open dunk. He's been coming on pretty strong. This was an amazing night for Colorado State. Now the question is, are they going to do it again? They got Boise State to finish the season, and then the Mount West tournament starts. And I think that there is a real belief, maybe not that they're the favorite to win the tournament, but why not Colorado State? Ali Farouk Manesh. Man, I was going to try to get him on today, but with a late game last night, I didn't want to bug him after the game and probably want to sleep in. Maybe we can catch him tomorrow because we're doing a big old preview for the Big Sky tournament, for the Mountain West tournament. Got some former Bears basketball players are going to join us tomorrow, so that's going to be really cool. Different segments. We're building the hype, man. We're building the hype. But for Ali Farouk Manesh, he becomes the third coach in program history. Third coach in program history to win 20 games in his first season as a head coach. That's a stat courtesy of the Ryan Pfeiffer from Colorado State. Ali joins guys like Larry Eustachy, who won 26 in the 2012-2013 season, and then Boyd Grant, who won 22 in the 87-88 season. I'm curious to know, though, because that obviously wasn't Larry Eustachy's first job. I don't know if that was Boyd Grant's first job, but that's what's even more significant. Eustachy had coached before. This is Ali's first year. I hands up, man. It wasn't that I was a disbeliever, but I think halfway through the season, I've watched plenty of Rams basketball this year, and I just didn't take away on a nightly basis. I didn't walk away going, "Yeah, that team's gonna figure out." Didn't have that sense, man. Didn't think they were gonna beat New Mexico last night. I'm not gonna text Ali that. Had a texter yesterday ask if I liked the Rams to cover, and I just said my silence speaks loudly. They win. They're 8.5-point underdogs, and they win the game. This was the fifth win on the road in conference play for CSU, tying for the fourth most in the program's Mountain West history. This is a fun team. You know, I like a lot of guys on this team. You know, I love Kyle Jorgensen. I love Brandon Recksteiner. I'm a big Kerry Booth fan. I root for the guy. He has all these intangibles. He has the look. But a lot of times earlier in the season, you just didn't see it. He had 13 points last night. Jace Butler is a tremendous young human. He had 11 points. Jevon Muniz has been, you know, he was all right last night, but he's been a nice contributor for this team. You should like Jace Butler, Michael. You know where he was before he came to Colorado State. He had to wash the bad stench off of him by coming to Colorado State. He had to wash it.
Washington is not known for their basketball.
Well, they didn't believe in him because he didn't get to play a whole heck of a lot when he was there. He averaged about 2 points per game, one rebound per game, played about 10 minutes per game for Washington. But now he finds his footing playing 25 minutes per game for CSU. Great young man. Augie Kadulis was pretty good last night. He had 11 points. I just think the bigs really stepped up in a game where they led. I mean, they were, for the two bigs, 10 of 16 from the three-point line. You get your center and your backup center, because Bemba's coming off the bench. You get those guys to hit 10 three-pointers, you're going to win more games. You're going to win more games, man. You're going to beat Boise State. You're going to make a run in the tournament. How about this team? This is really exciting. So now, when you look at it, as far as the standings are concerned, you got it, now there's no chance for CSU to, they got one game left. So they can't get to first, can't get to second, can't get to third. Realistically, they could get, let's see, they beat Grand Canyon this year, did they not? Yeah. So there's a chance they could jump up to the fourth spot. Now they have Boise State over the weekend, and that's their final game. And they're both 11-8, so obviously the winner of that will, if Colorado State wins, they will maintain their fifth spot. Now, they also are tied with Nevada and UNLV. Oh, boy, this is going to be fun. Really going to need to win. Grand Canyon, who, again, just joined the Mountain West and they got in early, they play Fresno State on Saturday night at 6, and that's not going to be an easy one. This is going to be fun. Just like the end of the Big Sky Conference schedule, this is going to come down to the wire. And the Rams, obviously, a better seed is huge. Games to pay attention to in the Mountain West. You've got UNLV and San Diego State tomorrow night. That's 8 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. And then Saturday is the big one, the final day of the regular season. Just looking at games that matter to Rams fans, New Mexico, Utah State doesn't matter necessarily. Obviously, their big one, 2 o'clock against the Broncos. You want to win that game, and then you stay on top of the Broncos. Wyoming, San Jose State, that doesn't matter for seeding. Grand Canyon, Fresno State's big. And then Nevada plays Air Force. That one's tough because Nevada will probably beat Air Force. CSU lost to Nevada earlier in the year. Did they only play Nevada once? I think they did because they had to make room for Grand Canyon. So Nevada would have the tiebreaker there. So that one's tough because it shows Nevada is in, what, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh If CSU wins and Nevada wins, Nevada would have the tiebreaker, so they would jump over both Boise State and Colorado State. Do the Rams have the tiebreaker over UNLV? I know they beat them on the road recently. Yeah, they beat them twice this year. So they would have the tiebreaker there. So odds are they're probably going to stay around that fourth or fifth spot. If Grand Canyon happens to lose, CSU could leapfrog them for fourth. But then if Nevada beats Air Force, which they will, Air Force would leapfrog them. So I think, here's my prediction, Michael. Colorado State will have the fifth seed. Yeah, they're going to have the fifth seed. And again, if they lose to Boise State, then that could potentially drop them all the way down to the eighth seed. So look out. It's going to be a lot of fun. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, when we come back, we got a big one tonight in the NBA. And obviously, I'll get back to more CSU stuff. Kevin Lytle will join us from Rams Weekly because I want to get Kevin's thoughts on David Roddy joining the Nuggets, the Mount West standings, how he thinks it's going to go, how Ali Faroukhmanesh has really got this team to buy in, this relatively new team. And, you know, the sky's the limit. Mike, quick question. If CSU does the unthinkable here, and it sounds like you're starting to become a believer, they go win the Mount West tournament and they punch a ticket. This is only Ollie's first year. Does he start getting calls? I know, but we do it. That's sports talk radio, man. There were plenty of Rams fans bitching earlier in the season going, is Ollie really the right guy? If they go win the Mount West tournament and they punch a ticket to the big dance, does Ollie Faroukhmanesh, or is it too soon?
It's too soon.
Really? Even based on...
He gets congratulation calls. He gets like a bunch of people around the country going, hey, congratulations, we didn't expect you to do this well. They may not say it that way, but they'll say, hey, congratulations in your first year.
Mm.
But that might be planting the seed, but no, like, hey, buddy, we're thinking
about
you.
What if they win a game in the first round?
Oh, if they win a game... See, I don't know. I think it's still too soon.
What if they win two games?
They could win the whole thing if you go to the Elite Eight.
He's gone.
Someone's hiring
him
away.
Listen, it's not going to happen, right? But then again, I didn't think they'd go on the road and beat UNLV. I didn't think they'd beat San Diego State at home. I didn't think they'd beat New Mexico on the road in the pit. So
you
there's
didn't
a bunch
think that
of
I would call it.
Well, I love you, man, but based on your vast knowledge of basketball, I wasn't using money to bet on that. But you were right. You called it.
Should have.
Yeah. Congrats.
My hunch was correct. Everybody was doubting CSU, and my brain said,
"I don't know
too much
that,
doubt."
I don't know that everybody was doubting CSU.
Well, CSU like. Fans wearing the green colored glasses.
I don't know. I think that there's been a bigger buy-in. After they beat UNLV on the road, I think things changed. In my mind, they did at least. 18 minutes after the hour. Coming up next. All right, Lou Dort did talk about his dirty play against Joker. Seems pretty apologetic. How did the Nuggets react to that? And how does David Adelman feel about Joker and complaining to the referees and all that? He spoke on that a bit yesterday. Also, could we see Aaron Gordon tonight against the Lakers? Probably not, but maybe tomorrow. It's Nuggets Lakers night. It's as good as the Super Bowl. We'll be right back.
You heard the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
So the Nuggets are They don't have a lot of interest in Lou Dort's apology, so we'll get into that in a moment. But want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. St. Patrick's Day is just around the corner, and On the Rocks will get your Shamrock rockin' with all the Irish whiskey you need. From brands like Tullamore Dew, Proper 12, Proper Number 12, and Jameson, you won't need the luck of the Irish to find these deals. So make your way over to On the Rocks Liquor today. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Lou Dort told The Athletic, The Athletic's Joel Lorenzi, about the play in question and call, the one we've been talking about, where Dort just kind of backs up, trips Joker on a really bad play. He's running back to he was 75 feet from the basket, running back to his end, and Dort just kind of leans his hip into him to trip him. It was a gross play.
Shall we say Dort's out there?
Lou Dort was asked about it, and he said, it was a physical game throughout the whole game. Obviously, that was unnecessary contact that I shouldn't have done. I got the worst of it by getting thrown out of the game, but yeah, it was a high-level game. I'm a competitor, so I compete. Adelman called the trip earlier a cheap shot, malicious, and a couple of days after the game, he said this, so he was still pretty hot about it. Joker pretty much stayed the same. He said it was just an unnecessary move. And, of course, after the game, he said, right after the game, it was an unnecessary move and a necessary reaction. Several players were asked about Lou Dort's apology. Coach and players, Adelman, Bruce Brown, Jonas Valanciunas, all spoke about it. And they asked if the comments from Lou Dort meant anything to them. And according to Bennett Durando of the Denver Post, quote, no. No further comment. So the Nuggets are not feeling it. Good, good. I want this sports hate, just like I want the sports hate tonight between the Los Angeles Lakers. Denver has a really complicated stretch coming up. And it starts tonight. The Lakers are still trying to figure stuff out, but that's a team that can beat you. That's Luka, man. I mean, they've got a very good basketball team. Well, an all right basketball team. Then they have the Knicks tomorrow on a back-to-back. I think you got to split one of these, man. Monday, March 9th, they go to Oklahoma City. So we get to recharge that rivalry right away. And then you're home on Wednesday against Houston at San Antonio. Next weekend, you're at Los Angeles. So the next six games are going to be very difficult for Denver. I'd say if you can find a way to win four of those, that would be pretty good. If you can do more, obviously. But tonight's a big one. I think, you know, the first of a back-to-back, winning this one, and both, you know, obviously home games, winning tonight, I think the pressure's on Denver. This one is at 8 o'clock, and it is on Prime Video. So there you go. 27 minutes after the hour. Coming up here in a moment, we're going to catch up with Sean Keeler from Keeling Me Softly. The NHL trade deadline is tomorrow, and Nazem Kadri's name keeps coming up, and it sounds like Sean Keeler is really banging that drum. He wants to see Kadri here. What would it take to get him here? And you are hearing a lot about Valanciunas potentially being on that trade block for the Avs. I'll be curious. Now, he's played well, I think, right? He's been okay. But you do wonder, you know, if the stuff that happened in Seattle and, what, two or three strikes now for Val, if you are still concerned that that could rear its ugly head again, do you want to be clear of that? I would be curious to see if they would move Val and if they would try to bring in a Nazem Kadri. I'll be curious to see how that one works. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Got a lot to get to today, though. So we'll talk to Keeler a little bit about the Avs. We got top stories of the day. There's another big name receiver that was just released or is going to be released. Should the Broncos be a player there? Also, a legend of the college football game has passed away, and we'll discuss that later on in the program. And what are the Broncos going to do as we get closer to the beginning of the free agency period? March 11th is when it starts. The negotiation window begins in 4 days. That's March 9th. Will Denver be aggressive when it comes to a running back, a wide receiver, or even potentially a tight end? 29 minutes after the hour. Keeling Me Softly coming up next with Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Keeling Me Softly time with the Denver Post's Sean Keeler. Sean, we got a lot to unpack here, my friend. Trade deadline for the NHL coming up tomorrow. The Avalanche have been semi-active already, but maybe you're wanting them to be a little bit more active before we get to that trade deadline.
Well, the short version, and good morning, by the way, my friend.
Good morning.
The short version is I wanted them to buy a Diet Coke, and they bought an RC0. So that's fine. We've got a zero-calorie drink, but it's not the zero-calorie drink that I think a lot of Avs fans wanted. But they got a diet drink. They got what they asked for on the list, just not the who.
Well, and obviously trading for Nick Waugh, you know, sending a first and a fifth round pick to the Maple Leafs. What do you make of that move? I mean, does that move the needle in your mind, or like we said earlier, is there still work to be done for this team?
Well, I think there's still depth work to be done. I think what it was the face. It was the middle road. My column, it's up at DenverPost.com. A very populist take. I know we've talked about it on and off air, and I'm sure you've talked about it with other folks, where it was no secret that the Avs were shopping for a 3C or a 2C or a middle 6C to move Parker Kelly down. Naz Kadri has a very big contract and has kind of made it no secret that he would like to play for a playoff team again after getting paid in Calgary. And the question was, could the Avs make those numbers work and bring Nazem Kadri home? They're not, I don't think. And this watch rate kind of signals that's the end of that. So instead of getting kind of a B center, they've got a C+, B minus center to put it 3C, who's a good player and ticks a lot of the boxes. Look, if you weren't going to, and we can get into the why with Kadri, and basically the short answer there too is his contract and his age. He's due $7 million, not just this season, although I think they prorate that the rest of the way. He's got three more years at $7 million. He's age 39. I can see logically where the Avs look at that and the Kroenkes will look at that and go, no thanks, especially because, we've got to carve out another $9 million for Cade McCarr, his extension in a couple months, to get him locked down long term. Was okay. I think okay to good is a good way to put it. He's a career, I think, 49%, high 48% faceoffs guy. He's 6'4", 6'3". He's a big body. He does some Brent Nelson things, physically. He's a Golden Knights Vegas veteran, so he knows how to dirty it up. You know, they play physical over there, as you know. They play the trap game. He's got playoff experience. So, again, it's kind of an RC Cola buy when you would have liked to see the Avs go for the Diet Coke. But he's also only got, I believe, a $3 million cap hit. I think Blankenberg, who they got last night, is $700,000 or $750,000. So they, at $10 million room last night, they've still got $4 or $5 more million to play with this year and for next. So they're probably not done. So it was a good flexibility move. It just wasn't a sexy one.
Yeah. Well, and I guess you're kind of getting that feeling that the Kadri thing is out. But
yeah.
I guess if you were Because I keep seeing another big name for the Avs. I keep seeing Big Val's name up there, potentially as a guy they could move. And I suppose if they were to be able to get Kadri with what he would do to the salary cap, you'd have to move a pretty significant piece of what you have already on that roster.
Well, that would be a fascinating arrangement. I can't see Calgary wanting to do that, although Val is such an interesting topic in and of itself, and they essentially made that gamble of having to pick between the two of them 3 years ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
It basically went, he's younger. They both had excellent cup playoff runs for us, but they're demanding about the same dollar amount, if I'm not mistaken, or I think Kadri wanted a little bit more. The Avs were never going to give him a long-term deal. I think he got 49 for 7. I mean, just really good money for a 2C, and good on him, and he earned it to get that point. But they made that choice. It would be fascinating, although I don't know how likely it is, if they've got a center. They don't need Kadri now. But if moving Val for where Val is also wouldn't shock me, because as much as I see him, let's put it this way, the more I see him, the less I see him, if that makes sense. I don't notice that he's there. And the numbers are down. The production is down. I just would be curious who would be willing to take that on, given that there's still some youth, still some mileage, still some upside, and still some risk. He is one infraction away from never playing in the NHL again. I mean, let's just be real about that. So to his credit, it's been a really clean, 18 months, 19 months, and good for Val. He's not quite the same guy on the ice, or certainly production-wise hasn't been there. So, I mean, would Calgary want that, or a third team want that? I mean, keep going. I mean, you've got room. That's the upside, is right now, if you're simply doing a cap ticker, like I said, we're about $750K, so 3.7 with 10.1, 10.5, or whatever it is to play with. So you've still got 6 or 7, which, by the way, would still fit a country salary in. I don't know that that's likely, but you know, if somebody would take Val and you can get a more consistent score at value, and you don't know how Lekkonen's going to be, that injury is makes him a TBD. When that's a good physical, grindy kind of guy, you need grindy guys. You need up the middle, you know, screening guys and you know, do the dirty work kind of guys. And Lekkonen was that. Val could be that and really hasn't, and Kadri's absolutely that. He just doesn't have a very good price tag for his age.
So joining us on the First Advantage Hotline is Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. Sean, a big one tonight in the NBA as the Nuggets getting set to take on the Los Angeles Lakers. First off, and I think I know the answer to this, but it sounds like Aaron Gordon's getting closer. Do you expect AG to play tonight, and if not tonight, tomorrow night against the Knicks?
I'm gonna cop out and say one of these next two. If he doesn't play tonight, he absolutely will play against New York. I was out there Sunday where they left it was should be at the end of this next little homestand, and Watson's not far behind. So we're getting close. So I think you're going to see him at the end of this week. Would that be tonight? I don't know. I think they're going to try. But they also are being super cautious, because the one thing that we've learned for the last 9 weeks is how different a team this looks without a healthy AG, especially defensively, physically, all the rest of it. So they're going to exercise some caution because they know what they are without him, and they know what they would be in the playoffs without him, and that's not a title contender. So I think your next 50 hours, 48 hours, you got a shot tonight. We'll see.
It's a very interesting schedule coming up for the Nuggets. The next 6 or 7 games are going to be certainly battles, so it'd be nice to get AG back. It'd be nice to get Peyton Watson back in the fold, too, which sounds like he's not far behind Aaron Gordon.
No, which means you have to make a decision in your lineup about Cam Johnson, obviously. I wrote about that in Monday's paper, and it's I don't know. I think you'd be very tempted to sit Cam. I think that's not a great mental message for a guy who's really, really kind of hitting a wall again. And physically, he just looked with that ankle. He was not moving well after the game. You can call it an excuse. You can call it whatever. but he's just not quite 100% there either. And now he's starting to feel and wear the pressure of the idea of we're slipping now. Like, we should be a 2 or 3 seed, and we're a 5. Well, they may be a 4 now, but I haven't looked actively where we're at. But they're in this kind of very volatile place in the middle of that playoff bracket. And he feels some responsibility mentally. I think they want to give him, if anything else, they might want to give him some time, not just to get physically right, but mentally right, knowing that that was a pretty bad weekend for him, all told. That Thunder game and missing two, was it two open ones?
Yeah,
there,
he had some key moments there.
Yeah, that's your job. You know, it's the old meme about one thing. You had one job, right? You had one thing. Cam knows, for all the other good things that he does defensively, court awareness, passing, et cetera, he knows that that's the one job. And I think when you miss on that stage in a game that you probably should have won last Friday, I think that went with him Sunday too, and then it was just awful, and it clearly got the fan base on him. And what you don't want is for it to spill over to toxic, right? Like, I wasn't sitting near enough. I didn't hear a lot of grumblings and mild boos when Cam isn't succeeding, but I don't hear hate from the crowd. And what you don't want is for the home fans to turn on him in any way. And I think the Nuggets know that, and I think they have to be kind of judicious about how they kind of ease him back there too, given that they're gonna need him. You're gonna need all the shooters you can get. Tim Hardaway has met that task, for the most part, with some slumps. Cam hasn't quite among the new guys. So we'll see where they go on that front.
Sean, let's shift over to the Broncos while we have you here. Obviously, the free agency process really begins. I guess the negotiation window starts on March 9th, and then you can start signing guys on March 11th. You know, we just keep hearing all these names, and then we keep seeing all these guys get tagged, franchise tag left and right, George Pickens, Breece Hall. Do you really see Denver being super aggressive in that first wave? Guys like Kenneth Walker, Travis Etienne, or, you know, maybe a receiver or a tight end position. Do you see Denver potentially overspend on the running back position for a guy like Travis Etienne?
Oh, for the running back position, I don't see them overspending.
Okay.
Now that's a qualifier. Would they take Etienne at value? Would they take him? Because I think he might be. I like Kenneth Walker slightly better, but you can make a good case for Etienne being a really good fit for what they want to do. Would you take him simply to keep him away from Kansas City? You might want to, because they're looking around going, we're also on the clock here, and that did not go so well. And they've got a whatever top 10, 11 pick that they know they can get somebody good offensively or defensively as well. I think that had to do a lot with the McDuffie trade, and I think they might want to simply, in the Chiefs, just get another first-round corner and stick him in there. So, yeah, would they spend for a running back? I think they would. Would they overpay? I don't think. Boy, George Payton is just very cold. What he and Sean have in common is they are emotionally cold when they have to, and ruthless about the open market. And they're ruthless about positions where they want to be able to get value. And I'll give you two of them that would explain a lot of their motives. Safety and running back. That's why Justin Simmons isn't here, among other reasons. That's why they will be very careful. I would never rule out a Dobbins reunion, but I would rule out something that was going to get Dobbins really seriously paid. I think they want to find value because they also, very similar to the Avs, know that they have a Cale Makar of their own, and they're going to have to pay for Bo Nix at some point pretty soon. And you want to hit, obviously, well, you've got a good rookie QB or young QB on a rookie contract, but that rookie contract's going to run out. They're going to want to keep him here long-term, and they're going to have a big, big, big old expense that they're going to have to account for in the next 3 to 5 years of cap room. So you try to make it up somewhere else. Running back is one of those places where you can make it up. So I'd be surprised. I won't rule anything out, but overpay, boy, that's unlikely. Not for running back. Maybe a wideout because they know they need it, but I think they want to try to find value. This is a team that's more likely to overpay, air quotes, for a defensive lineman, a pass rusher, or a run stopper, or somebody of that ilk up the middle of the line of scrimmage than they are for a skill guy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll be really curious to see what they do, and I'm excited about the draft. I know it's a late pick, but still very much intrigued about what this team's going to do. Sean, great stuff as always, man. We know you're all over the Colorado sports scene, all over the Denver scene. So really appreciate your time, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, brother.
All right, Sean Keeler, Denver Post. He's really hot on the Avs this week. And although with that move of Nick Waugh, it does look like that's probably not going to make it work with Nazem Kadri. But potentially, the Avs could still look to move one of their larger pieces in a Val Nichushkin. 48 minutes after the hour. Michael, when we come back, I'll wrap up this hour. Also, I want to get to David Adelman and some of the things he had to say about his superstar. And how he's being guarded differently than any superstar perhaps in the history of this game. I don't know. Michael Jordan might have a case back in the early 90s against the Pistons, but the league changed when that was happening. Is that going to be the same thing? We'll talk about it. Top stories of the day. I'm getting new. We're refreshing the top stories every second because there's a lot of news out there. And then we got Rams Weekly coming up at 1 o'clock. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
The Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. Lemons Heating and Cooling. They're going to cool you off or warm you up. Either way, maybe you're one of those households or that's dealing with some issues with your heating, your air conditioning, your duct cleaning. Because before we know it, Mike, I know it's going to be weird, maybe snowy this weekend or something, but we're in that weird spot where we know we're still going to have plenty of cold days, probably plenty of snow days ahead, but we're going to start getting warmer and warmer and warmer. And you remember, maybe you're thinking back to it right now, your AC wasn't quite cutting it late in the summer. So do yourself a favor. Contact Lemons Heating and Cooling now. Get it out of the way. They got free estimates available. You can check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com or call 970-567-0798. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, we have a lot of news to hit in the top story of the day, like top stories of the day. We got NFL news. We've got some NBA news. I've got a strange college basketball story coming up. It's a bizarre time, and it never seems to slow down. So we'll get to that with top stories. Also, Kevin Lytle's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll switch gears and go all things Rams, Rams Weekly. I also got the Colorado State spring football schedule. And I'll kind of go through that, too, because I don't really care about spring. But I got to admit, with Jim Mora getting out there to check out, you know, just what the vibe's like, I'm curious about that. Most of the time, spring ball means very little to me because I'm not going to retain whatever it is I learn when I go out there in March or April. And I'm just going to have to relearn it anyway. But in this case, I'm actually really looking forward to going out there and seeing what Jim Mora is all about. I think that starts this weekend.
Yeah, spring ball is for the parents.
What?
Spring ball is for the parents. Like, oh, my kid playing spring ball.
You know the parents aren't there watching practices, Mike.
Nobody's there.
Well, nope, like how is it boring for the parents? This isn't high school. This is college. It's not. Parents don't make special trips to go watch spring football. What are you talking about?
But their kids, like, you know, playing, and they're like, hey, my kid is playing. I'm so excited.
They're not. I don't know who you are.
My kid's practicing. Yay.
They're just, that's the thing. It's not like special for the parents. I mean, they're not like parents lined up out there. Oh, wow, hope my son plays in spring ball. No, it's not for the parents. It's for installs, Mike. Getting everything done early, getting ahead of the game, so you pick it up right where you left off when fall camp starts. All right, top stories of the day. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.